Jesus. Hey.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, great. Hold on, let me turn this down because holy shit, this is loud as fuck.
Oh.
Can I turn it down? Audio settings. Yes, there we go.
That's fine.
Okay, say something.
Hello.
Okay, perfect. All right, what's up, Rachel?
Oh my God, blur background, blur. Yeah, unblur. Not much. I got Theodore in the other room watching Coco Melon, so he might walk in here and go goo goo gaga. It's a couple
Hey, that's totally fine. I don't know if you can see who I got right next to me, but I got my own little Goo Goo Gaga joining me for this episode. This is my new pup, Eddie.
Eddie,
Yeah.
my friend has a dog named Eddie. He just got two. That's so cute.
Right on, yeah. I gotta say, I love the shirt you're wearing. For those that are only listening to the audio, Rachel is, and Rachel, by the way, is a returning guest on the
Woo!
part of the Lucid Hive, but she's currently wearing a black shirt with green alien grays on them all over, sprinkled. So.
And it says humans aren't real.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the last episode we had, we talked about some of my experiences where I felt like reality wasn't necessarily real. So
Right. Oh my God.
the whole concept of humans possibly not being real isn't that far-fetched to me. So I
I think
appreciate that.
anything is, I entertain the idea of anything. Like, I have such an open mind. Like, what, who are we to say, no, that can't be right? Like, that's
Right.
ignorant. We don't know.
Yeah. Do you know the Hollow Sky podcast by chance?
The what one?
Hollow Sky.
I haven't.
So there are these two, again, this is someone from work, Alien Jamie. So Jamie, my first guest on the podcast, when she was still working with me at the place that I work, she put me onto these guys' podcast, and they talk a lot about what used to be real taboo, like far out shit, like
Oh yeah.
aliens and cryptos. Like, yeah, they talk about cryptocurrency. Yeah, that's right, Patrick. Cryptids, and like lucid dreaming and all that type of stuff. So I've been like on a kind of a deep dive with them lately. And they've been talking about some shit that really makes me just like, whoa, what if that's what's going on? Like, that's pretty fucking freaky and weird, huh?
Yeah, oh my
Yeah.
gosh. I haven't gone down any rabbit holes with like in well, conspiracies since like I was pregnant. Like now I've been like kind of like getting like hearing things here and there, but I just like the possibility of like where our minds can go and like
Yeah.
what our potential is.
So the last time you were on, we talked about this privately, but you had just found out that this was happening.
Yes.
So what has changed in your life in terms of your dreaming escapades since becoming a mother?
I would say I have a lot more dreams with Theodore in it and like more maternal instinctive dreams where like it, I guess pre-mom, it was always, just myself and then like the people around me, like friends and family. And like this past week, I've had a lot of zombie apocalypse dreams and I'm like
Oh.
holding on to Theodore and I'm like, we're running like, and like there was one. Well, basically, like it's not just me anymore. It's like me and him, like we're a team. So like I'll have dreams where it'll just be me, but he'll always be in the back of my head. So
Interesting.
that's pretty a cool new aspect. It's like I have a dream like buddy with me now.
That's interesting. So when you actually had him, did you feel like that switch that people talk about, like you felt like a switch in your brain all of a sudden flip on, and now this was like your sole focus was this whole thing?
Pretty much. And I didn't really have a choice since I'm a single mom. Like I have to like give him my full attention,
Right.
but like grew to become so natural. And I guess you can't really explain it or like experience it unless like you become a mother yourself or a father and like you
Right.
get to see like your own child in front of you. But like he's still learning a lot of words, but every time he wakes up, like even earlier today, he took a nap and I go like, hello, Theodore. Like, did you have any good dreams? I'm like, did you have any? Like, what were you dreaming about? Like, he can't respond yet, but I want him to start putting two and two together, like dreaming, like she, mom asked me about dreaming every time I wake up.
Right.
Hopefully someday we can start having conversations, and I just can't wait for that day to come.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because you're such an experienced individual when it comes to lucid dreaming and astral and all that type of stuff, that like I've heard stories of parents when they have kids and the kids start talking to them about their dream life, like some of the shit that they'll say, like how they have it's like, it almost seems like kids have like, and this is kind of something that I believe, that like when you're young, you're still closer to the source of wherever you were before than you are to the end, like where you'll go next. Mm-hmm. So I hear these stories of like kids talking about these like crazy things that they experienced in their dream life, like, oh, I was like, and this, I've been to this place before. And it's like, well, how have you been? They're describing like cities in the sky and like all this crazy shit. And they're like, and I was like, oh, I've been here before. And it's like, dude, you're like 3 years old. What do you mean you've been here before? How do you know that? You know?
Yeah. How are you? Like, I totally believe that too. Yeah. Like when you're first born, like there's supposed to be the most DMT, like as like, that's what I thought about when I was giving birth to Theodore. I'm like, he's just tripping out right now. He's going to come see the light. Like he's just enjoying like becoming a person. And then I also heard like when you die, like the DMT. So it's like the beginning and the end. But whatever that source is, I do believe kids have that, like they can tap into it much better than adults who have been, I would say, like seasoned to society.
Right.
So like, this is the way it is. Like that stuff, like you said earlier, is like, oh, hoo-ha, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like they're not as desensitized to the, to all the bullshit that society brings to it. So
yeah, I'm excited to see what kind of off the wall things he comes. And if he said like he sees something, and I'm like, okay, let's go check it out. Let's like go on a quest. Let's go figure out what your dream meant. Mm-hmm. You're probably on to something here, kid.
Yeah, like I've heard that they're more in tune with that stuff, and that they're also more in tune with like spirits, you know, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. So that'll be interesting. I think down the line, that'll definitely be some like really cool exclusive content for you to put out, is like your little mini podcast with your kid and like his dream life and everything, you know what I mean? So
I'm already pre-thinking. I'm like, okay, my channel, I like when I upload a video, I'm like, no, this is not made for kids. But I've thought once Theo and I get in like a routine of talking about dreams, if he wants, we'll like create a YouTube video for him so other kids can tune in to him talking about dreams. But that's still a couple of years away at least.
Right. So you said that you kind of fell off of lucid dreaming for a bit because you were going through some stuff, and understandably so.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of your lucid dreams while you were still pregnant? Like, did you have any profound experiences with that?
Oh my God. Yeah. I had so many dreams. So I know the last time, once again, let me get this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time I talked to you, I told you how I just found out I was pregnant. So it was like very early of the first trimester. And then, oh my gosh, there's a bunch. Let me, flooding my mind right now. Mm-hmm. So when my boobs started to change when I was pregnant, I had a dream that, like a little loose, I want to, there's a point here.
Okay. But hold on, before you get into that point, let me just say, as the man of the podcast, Nice.
Now you just wait, because it full circles, and it's like one of the best like lucid dream experience I've had, because I felt like I made it a reality. So I'm like, the first trimester, I like my boobs are starting to get bigger, and I'm like, wow, like this is great. And I had a couple lucid dreams that I was able to like go like this, and I was looking in the mirror, and I was able to like make my boobs bigger and smaller. And then as I was lucid, I'm walking around like the shopping mall, and I'm like, wow, these feel great. Like this isn't it. Like they're not that heavy. Like, man, I love boobs. Like it's going on.
Yeah.
Because I finally felt what it was like. It made me pull the trigger after I had Theodore that I actually got a boob job in April. So it's so nice. Like, wow. Like I feel like I experienced it in a lucid dream, and then I made it a reality, and it's just like exactly how I dreamt it. So that was really cool that I had that. But the hormones, pregnancy hormones, really give you like vivid dreams, long dreams. Like there's so much. I actually even went on with Lana Sackwild and talked about pregnancy with dreams, because I was practicing labor. So like the second, third trimester, I'm like super pregnant in my dream, and I'm like at the hospital, and then I trigger lucidity because I, in real life, I went through a midwife. So in my dream, I'm at the hospital, and I know, wait, this isn't right. So trigger lucidity. I have the baby in my dream, and I'm like, okay, can we run through that one more time? And rewind.
Hit the rewind. Everybody reset back to one.
Yeah. But basically, like the key moments of any of those dreams or lucid dreams I had practicing labor, it was all about bringing it back to the center, like breathing. Like it's all chaotic. It's like, oh my God, it's happening. And then it's like, so basically, in real life, when I did have Theodore, I just kept my like meditative like state of mind. I put myself in like this trance. I didn't even cry. Like I had an all natural birth, no drugs, no epidural. So I was thought I would for sure cry from the pain, but honestly, I didn't feel pain. Like I felt pressure, and like it was just like my dream. It was just very like, okay, let's get right through this. So yeah, practicing labor while pregnant in my dreams was definitely quite the experience. And then there was a bunch of side boob quest dreams that came full circle, which is awesome.
I just love how that sounds. There was some side boob quests, you know, like that. Yeah.
Because I was also walking around topless in multiple dreams, and there was like people looking at me, and I'm like, it's allowed. Like in my dream, it was like, you're allowed to walk around topless. And I'm like, I feel great. Uh-huh. I don't know what it was, but finally got comfortable in my skin. And yeah, then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a boob job, because I've been on the fence about it like my whole life growing up. And I never really wanted to be like personally to get plastic surgery. I'm like, well, if you're going to get it, get boobs. So,
right.
Yeah. But it was definitely quite the experience, just having all those dreams and having them be so vivid and so real. So when I woke up, it was more of a memory than a dream.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. That whole memory than a dream thing. That's, mm-hmm. No pun intended to Lana, but that's pretty wild, you know, that whole,
yeah.
That whole experience. Then, you know, that was kind of like a part of why I got interested. Well, there was several reasons why I got interested in acting, but one of the reasons why I felt like I would be good at it, and I was during my time for it, was because I felt like lucid dreaming would be a great tool for essentially practicing certain things before I even got it. So like there were several lucid dreams that I would have where I would essentially like be practicing for an audition that I would be having like coming up. And when I walked into the room for it, it was that much easier to just go about my business and do what I had to do, because I'd already kind of put myself in that place. Right. So it makes perfect sense to me. And it's just something that I honestly had never considered, but it really does make perfect sense to like put yourself in that place lucidly before you actually have the kid, to kind of just like, you know, like take away all the uncertainty and all the newness of it, so that way you can just focus on what you can control, which is like, you know, right. Your breathing and all, you know, all that type of shit. So that's pretty fucking cool.
Like even during the labor, I was like, oh my God, I don't want to tear. And I'm like, don't think about that. Don't think about it. Push it away. And I'm like, literally my midwife is like, you need to push now. And I'm like, now or never. Uh-huh. But no tearing, nothing. Like it was a perfect labor and delivery. And luckily it was, because I was at I was basically at a house, but it was the midwife center, but it was just us there. So right. If anything did happen, I would have to be transferred to a hospital. So I'm really happy that it went that route. And if I ever had another kid, I'd probably do the same route, just because it was very relaxed. And it was in the height of COVID. So I would have had to wear a mask if I was at the hospital. I didn't have to wear one with the midwife. And it was I was able to have two people there versus the hospital was like one. So it was just, yeah, crazy times.
Fuck yeah. Like when we were last on, that was even before COVID. Like,
yeah. It was hot, or it was right after, was it?
Was it right after, or was it before?
It was right after, because Theodore was conceived when quarantine was lifted for the first time, and I went out to the bar. So,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So he's a quarantine baby.
He's a corn baby.
Yeah.
I don't think you're like that. I'm all like, he's a corn baby. He's like, It really does feel like that when you when we do these experiences, they don't really feel like dreams anymore. They become more like memories, you know? Like, there was a few lucids that I had when, before Eddie, when Zozo was still here, that I was still like having Fidel show up when I was lucid, that were so profound in their experience and so powerful that they didn't feel like just your typical lucid dream type of thing. It felt like a memory that, like, even right now I can see it in my head, like, vividly. Like, I remember there was one where I became lucid and I was in like some weird house type thing, and there was this fucking huge painting in front of me, like a really big house with this really big painting, and it almost looked like a, like the combination to a safe almost, and this, like, it opens up like this, and all of a sudden Fidel is like behind it, and like he pops out and like jumps down, and like I just remember the overwhelming sense of emotion like flowing through me, and it seemed like it was reverberating through the entire space. And I remember saying, like, because he was like starting to do this whole like dit, 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 to try to like come down to me. Yeah. And I told him stay, because I wanted him to stay where he was, because I wanted to like connect, like collect myself. And when I said stay, like the whole place just like vibrated, and he stayed. And then I like collected myself a little bit, and I was like, come, Fidel. And then he came to me, and like I held him and I embraced him. And this was like one of the first real experiences that I can remember having where I was 1,000 and still am 1,000% convinced that who I was interacting with in that moment was really him. Because I remember in that moment feeling every inch of him as I remember him. Like, I could feel how his tail was like bent in like the middle part of it. I could feel the fur. I could just everything about it. And so I awoke from that experience, like just feeling extremely grateful. And like, this was like something so beyond what I normally experience when I'm lucid, in terms of like, I'm never going to forget this ever.
Never. You can't.
So yeah, I think that's really cool that you were able to have those types of experiences and to have the knowledge that those are something that you can go back to like whenever you want, you know? So if you end up deciding to have another kid, or if it just happens like organically, that'll be something that you can utilize and like kind of prepare yourself for that again, you know? So that's cool. So did you have any other like profound or just fun type of shit that you did when pregnant, that you were in the lucid realm or in astral or anything like that?
The third trimester, I had a lot of sex dreams because my hormones were like, but I mean, those were fun in the moment. And then what else? I guess it was just being able to like move around, because in the third, like last month, I was so stationary for a while. I like couldn't, like I started getting swollen, and like where I would wake up and my tongue ring would be like, my tongue was swollen, and I'm just like, oh great, we're gonna start off today. But as far as like in my dreams, I was able to like have more experiences, and I really felt at the end of my pregnancy I was just waiting for him to pop out. So like, I guess being more of a homebody than I ever was before, I felt like I was going out in my dreams, like not enough for me.
I get that too, and that's something that I still kind of like do.
I still do now. I'm a recluse. I like to stay home.
Like screams at me to go out and do it, then I do it. But for the most part, I have my pattern in my, you know, I've been watching Westworld recently. Yeah. So in Westworld, they call them like the loops that the hosts, that the robots essentially go through.
I wrote down Hollow Sky podcast and then Westworld. I heard someone talking about that and I haven't started it.
Oh, so good. So good. I've only seen the first three seasons. The fourth season is just ending tonight, but in my opinion, the first season of the show stacks up with any other show in history in terms of like, it, to me, it was like one of the greatest single seasons of television I've ever seen in my life. Okay, from start to finish. And then season two, I really liked. Season three, I really liked. And I'll see what season four has in store. But yeah, definitely check those out. So when you were like, when you were going around topless in your lucid dream and people were staring at you, did you have any sense of like, these are other people, or these are just like dream figures, or what was your sense? Like, did you get any like sort of like judgmental looks or comments that you can remember?
Yeah, like there were a few Karens, I would say, and it was like, in my mind, it was like openly known, like you can be topless if you want to, like it's just people's choice if they want to be or not. Mm-hmm. And it kind of felt like they were NPCs, like they were just background characters like to fill the space. But there was like this little kid, and that was the only time I was like, oh, just because I'm like, oh, it's a child. But as far as like all the people, like I'm just walking on the boardwalk like, mm-hmm. hey everyone. But it was like that sense of confidence,
yeah, that freedom,
right? That was like a little more deeply rooted of just be who you want to be, like no judgment, no fear, just walk around topless if you want to.
That's dope. Yeah, looking back at some of my past recordings, because like my dream cycle hasn't been what it used to be in terms of like my consistency and my willingness to just write stuff down. So I've been kind of lazy in the sense of when I do have lucids, I haven't been writing them down. I've just been like voice recording them. So I'm just kind of like trying to look at what some of the past ones that I've had. Do you remember when exactly, like I could look it up, but I'm like lazy. Do you remember exactly when we recorded?
It would have probably been.
I literally can just Google this. Hold on.
July 2020, just because Theodore was conceived in June and I found out in July. So it would have been probably July or August because you were one of the first few people I told.
And that was 2020?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I haven't told you this yet. So do you remember, yeah, there it is. Do you remember, I'm pretty sure we talked about this last time, that at the time of our recording, my whole thought process on the differences between lucid dreaming and astral projection, like I wasn't convinced that they weren't the same thing. So I feel differently now.
Oh yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
So I had a few experiences where, because you know the whole like steps to doing one and the other is like virtually identical, So I was like trying to sort of figure out a way of being able to do it for myself, and as you for those that are listening, she's taking selfies and shit, she'd be looking fucking
cute. Picture of us.
Okay, well then we look fucking cute. But so I was trying to figure out ways of how do I do it? How do I do astral and shit? Like I still haven't experienced it. Like Lana and fucking Jennifer and like all these people are saying how they do it.
Jade Shaw, I really like her astral stuff. Like I follow her and I'm like just like the string to like pull yourself off. But I just
Like that whole concept. I haven't experienced that yet. So like that whole concept, I'm like, what the fuck? Like what? So I was like, well, what if I became lucid and then I just said I want to experience astral projection while lucid? Like what would happen if I did that? Because no one has ever said that you could do that I know of. So I was like, okay, let me try that. So I end up having a lucid dream where I'm walking in my neighborhood, and at the time I had Zozo, but for some reason I wasn't walking him, I was walking this other dog, this like golden Labrador. And I'm walking him through my neighborhood, and all of a sudden you're wearing your fucking alien shirt. I see this like UFO, like just floating around in my neighborhood. Like there's this big patch of grass that's just outside of my apartment building that everybody goes and like walks their dog, like the whole neighborhood. And I see this UFO that's just like hovering over this patch of grass. And I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? And it starts like shooting this beam of light at like all the different cars in the area. And the cars then start like floating and shit.
And I'm just like, I knew they were gonna start floating.
yeah it was like the entire street of cars just starts floating for some reason. I'm like, well, what the fuck? And it starts like going off in the distance and like flying everywhere, and I'm just like watching. I'm just like, whoa. And I'm like on my phone texting, I'm like trying to record it and everything, and I can't, like, because it's just moving so fast. And all of a sudden it comes back to me, and in that moment I like felt like kind of a sense of like my old like inner chimpanzee, where like I in the lucid dreams back in the day, I used to always do like DBZ, Dragon Ball Z type shit and just shoot Kamehamehas and all that. And exactly. So when it starts like charging at me, I'm like, nah, you fucked up. So I like started doing like DBZ and everything at it, and like just having this whole experience with it. And then I remember, I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing? Like I'm totally like neglecting the goal that I had, which was I want to experience astral projection while lucid, you know? So like I stopped myself and I'm like, I want to experience astral projection while lucid. All of a sudden, dude, everything just fucking changed around me, man. It was like the entire scene around me just becomes this blur. And I could feel myself like elevating in like crazy, crazy speeds. All of a sudden, everything around me becomes just this, the most brilliant white I've ever seen. Like I'm just surrounded by white, this white light. And the only way that I could describe it is that it felt like all of a sudden I was my body. Like I'm now lucid in this white setting, but now it feels like I'm attached to my body for some reason. Like it really feels like my body is now exposed. And I just had, I remember this feeling of like, oh shit, I feel exposed. So that was essentially all it was. Cause it was such a foreign experience where I'm like, why do I feel like I'm naked right now? Like, I feel like I really am my body. And I like kind of got freaked out by the sensation of it that I woke myself up. But it felt like in that moment, I understood what one of the differences between being lucid and being astral was, that it's almost like there's this veil, this cover over you when you're lucid. And like, you can still do all these fucking crazy profound experiences that are life-changing, but it's like there's this one separation, at least in that one experience I had, that to me distinguishes what the actual feeling of difference is that like when you're astral, it was like I was my actual body. Like if anything actually happened to me, it was doing it to me, you know what I mean? Whereas with the lucid, it was like I didn't have that same sort of like weird fear sensation to it. So but I remember having that, and and everything like changed after that. I was like, yo, okay, they're pretty fucking similar, but they're pretty fucking different too. Right. I don't even, you know what I mean?
And I've always thought like, yeah, they were like in my experience, like one of the same, but just as you were telling that story, my like, like I had a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
I had this lucid dream. Like it was wild. I actually like went straight into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it, now I'm like, okay, that was astral projection, because it was the weight of my body. I could feel everything. It was like more than just a lucid dream where I could feel like pain, or I don't know. It's because I've been shot in a lucid dream, but it like this experience was different. But like the wild, I just went straight into like a black hole, and I could just feel like the weight of my body, and I could feel like my hair blowing. And then I went through the lucid dream, and I saw another black hole like next to this like waterfall river area, and I was like, oh, there's another one. And I kind of went boop, like went right back into it. But then coming back to my body was way more different than me leaving. I was like railing around, and I had to remember to get my body into an X, and then I was able to like free fall, and like I even had my hair in my way, and I had to like
you were skydiving.
Yeah basically. And then I came back to my body, and I just opened my eyes, and I was like, wow, that was the most insane wild I've ever experienced. But I feel like it was more of I was closing my eyes, meditating, I left my body, and then I went through this journey, and then I came straight back. So now I'm going to kind of have to look into astral projection a little bit more myself, so I can like, cause I feel like I'm riding the fence. I'm not quite sure what's what, cause I'm such an avid lucid dreamer that I just kind of put everything in that, oh, it was lucid dreaming, but it's probably a lot more than what I even see. Like you say, that veil, it's a different atmosphere, but
yeah, like that's, and I'm on one hand, I'm sad and mad at myself that like I ended it right there. Cause like I was definitely on the cusp of like really experiencing whatever differences could possibly be there. That's really what I took away from it though, is I was just like, this feels different. Like I've had, at that point I had like well over 200, probably approaching 300 lucid dreams. That was the first time I'd ever felt like that before in any of them.
You got a taste of it.
Yeah. And like, just based on like having that experience, and then when I'd had Jennifer on and she told me about one of her astrals where she could see, like this concept is so like, again, for, you know, not, no pun intended, but wild, that when she was astral, she could see other people who were astral, but they were like dreaming, and she could see like this dream bubble that they were in. She could go up to them, to the bubble, and then like kind of influence what was going on in the bubble if she wanted to.
Wow.
And then when I had like, so just that type of stuff, I'm just like, wow, like, okay, maybe there is like some slight differences, but at the end of the day, I don't think it negates or like discounts how important and how fucking awesome lucid dreaming is, because legitimately I wouldn't be where I am today had I not become a lucid dreamer, had I not discovered it. I wouldn't have met as many of the cool people I have. I wouldn't have like changed as much as I've changed, you know, with the exception of Fidel and Enzo. Like those are the two, for me, those are the two biggest reasons why I, who I am today. But if they hadn't existed, lucid dreaming would have been that top spot. And like just some of the things I've been able to do, like I've, you know, I think I've told you this, but I was like writing, and I still am writing this story based on a lot of my experiences in lucid dreaming. And it's like, I would love to make it, when I'm actually done writing the actual thing, if it could become like an anime, I think that would be so fucking dope, you know?
That's awesome.
But like the main antagonist of the story, I was having a hard time like visualizing what he would be apart from like this broad strokes type of thing. And I remember having one lucid dream where I essentially asked to see the character. I was like, I want to see da 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 da. And then all of a sudden he appeared to me and I was like, oh fuck. That, yes, that's it. That's what he's got to look like. Like, and I was like, okay, but what does he sound like? And all of a sudden he started talking to me and I was like, oh shit. Yeah, that's what he sounds like. That's fucking what he sounds like. Sorry for everybody's ears that hears this. Yeah. I was like so fucking hyped. So
that's so great.
Yeah.
That like catapults, like I would say, your inspiration a lot further, just because the lucid dreaming gives you that little insight of something that's right in front of your face, but you can't find it until it's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, exactly. Like it definitely, wherever you're going when you're lucid, whether that's in your own mind or you're actually going out somewhere. And I still to this day feel like it's a little bit of both, mm-hmm. you know, wherever it's taking you is boundlessly more creative than just us as individuals are. Yeah, while I was in the midst of watching of what's the fucking word that you do when converting? When I was converting the footage, I was replaying some of my old, not yet discussed lucid dreams that I've had, and a couple of them. As I was listening to it, I was like, "Oh fuck, yeah, that was fucking interesting." So one of them that I had happened literally after this conversation that I had with Mike, who I think was my fifth guest on the podcast. He described a lucid dream that he had where he saw like, he was like in space, or he was like looking up at space, and all of a sudden like the space in the sky, the stars started to form like these hands that would then like reach down and grab him or whatever. And so in this particular lucid dream that I had, I meet a being, I become lucid, and this being is like right next to me all of a sudden. And I like recognize them somehow. I don't know how I recognize them, but they essentially told me that like they've been with me always. And the setting changed to like all of a sudden I was in like a classroom, and they're like the teacher of the classroom, and they're like answering questions that I have. And one of the first things that I asked them is like, can I see the thing that Mike saw with like the hands? And they were like, oh my God. They were all like, well, I don't really have anything else for you to do right now, so yeah, I guess you could see that. And then like the sky like opens up and I'm able to see like the night sky, and all of a sudden like I just see these fucking hands form from the stars, and like it starts off as like this spiral thing, and then these hands form from out of it, and then they just like shoot out at me. It was like pretty fucking wild. And then it goes back to the classroom setting, and the being like starts like just talking to me about how it's been with me always. And I'm like, so wait, you've been with me for like every lucid dream that I've had? And they're just like, yep. And I was like, oh. Like, oh, even some of those lucid dreams. Oh, okay.
Well, you were that. Oh, all of them? Oh, shit. It was a threesome. No.
You mean the orgies? Yeah. Okay. You were that too. Okay. So were you like all the people or no?
Like, I didn't even recognize you, dude. Oh my God. How are you? Like,
yeah, wow. Dude. Oh my God. You have like the biggest loads ever. That was so fucking crazy. But,
this is crazy for it to say, like, Yeah, I've always been here, and just like you just knew it, you didn't question it. You were like, oh, I've
I
been
didn't
here.
question it. At least in the recording, I didn't say that I questioned it. It was just, it's one of those things where if you listen to some of the episodes on the Hollow Sky podcast, it's like they talk about, so there's, oh God, what was his fucking name? We're gonna go a little off topic, but just going back to the whole you didn't question it thing. There's this guy that had like these pretty wild alien abduction type situations, the Bledsoe. Was it is fucking Chris Bledsoe. There was this guy that had like these encounters with these ETs where apparently him and his son got abducted. And like in it's like a four part episode series that the Hollow Sky podcast talks about this particular set of events that happened. And initially, like the first thing is like him and his son get abducted, and he thinks he's dealing with the grays, and he's like asking them like, oh no, I believe, he's like telling them like, I believe in God. And they're like, oh well, we created you and everything like that. And he I forget what it was, but he asked them something, and one of them was like, oh, don't answer that. And they were like really like taken aback by the question that he asked them. And then he was saying, they were saying essentially like, we're not God, but like we created you, like we created humans and everything. And then he has these encounters later on where it's like these are supposedly the same beings, but they're made of light and they can transform and everything. And then they go from saying, oh, we're not God, but we created you, to then saying like, oh, we are God, like we're definitely God. And this chick over here that you're talking to is like the God of gods and everything. And it was just one of those things where it's like the guys on the podcast are like, and he didn't like question that, like he was just so invested emotionally in what was happening, even though there's like these red flags that are popping up, and like they 100% believe what he's telling is the truth in terms of like his experience with what happened, but there was no logical like questioning to what happened. So going back to what you were saying with that particular experience, yeah, I didn't really question it. Like maybe
Like
I could have.
yeah, but it made sense to you that it just clicked.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it felt like it knew more than I did, even if it meant more about myself than I did. Oh, is
That
that?
just gave me a dream flashback.
Oh,
Yeah,
I can see. I saw it on your face. What
I have,
happened?
like, oh yeah, I didn't question it. It was like another version of me, and I'm like in this warehouse, and there's like army people everywhere, and she like appeared from like a storage container, like she was a chameleon, and then she just like came to, and she was there. She was like, come with me. And I was just like, okay. But it was just, I felt like something that was always there too, that just appeared when I needed a guide. So,
Right.
but it was in that moment. Yeah. No,
Yeah.
everyone else was suspect. I was like, gotta stay away from them. And then she appeared, and I'm like, I can trust you, like instinctively knew, just
Right.
a doubt.
Yeah. And, it wasn't like this particular being felt ominous or anything. It felt like they were trying to, and it goes even further into what happened is it felt like they're trying to teach me some shit. So like they were saying like, I've been with you from the beginning, and that started like I started asking it like rapid fire questions, and it started like answering them. And I was like, so are you saying like you're beyond time? And it's like, yeah, I'm beyond time. And I was like, so do humans at some point become like beyond time? And he's like, yeah, you do, but like you have some shit you have to learn first before you can get
Yeah,
there.
you do.
Yeah. And I was like,
Oh
oh,
no, you
okay.
froze.
Can you see me? Can you hear me?
I'm gonna take a screenshot.
Oh, you froze too. Yeah. You're doing this.
You were too. You were frozen. And I took a screenshot.
Okay.
But you were saying like the classroom, like, and you were asking them and
So I started like asking like rapid fire questions, and then I asked it like, are you beyond time? It's like, yeah, I'm beyond time. I asked it, do humans be like at some point become beyond time? And they're like, yeah,
That's
you do.
creepy because that's when it cut off. That's, it's like, stop talking about
Well, am I not supposed to share this particular one? My
it.
bad.
Oh no,
My
I
bad,
want to
dude.
know. Tell me. Like, break
Yeah.
the time walls down. Like, okay, that's when it cut off though. So please continue.
That's interesting. So, Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, you do, but you got to learn some shit first, and then you guys get there. And I was like, I didn't get this far into the audio, like when I was re-listening to it, but I remember where it picks up. And so I remember asking it, like, is one of the things we have to learn, like, how to love, you know, like how to love, like, unconditionally or something. And it was like, yeah, but at some point you get to a point where you don't even need it anymore. Like, you get to a point where you don't even need to love.
And it's just emotions, maybe. Like,
I was, wow. Yeah, I remember hearing and that, like, in hindsight, like, that's one of those things where I can, the me that I am now, when I hear that, I'm like, that feels a little weird. Like, how, in what world or what universe would you not want to know what love is? You know what I mean? Or not to need love. Because, like, you've done psychedelics. I know one of the most profound experiences that I've had with mushrooms was actually the last time that I did it, which was, God, I'm definitely due for a reset, but it was like I want to say it was before Fidel. So it was probably 2013, 2014. Essentially, like, after I was able to get myself to a good place on the trip, what ended up happening was I felt like my whole body was just radiating with love. Like, I just felt this loving energy radiating through my whole body. I remember having this very vivid thought of, like, that seemed like, you know, those ether thoughts that seem to just, like, fucking come to you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing, like, the universe is made of love. And so when I have that experience, and then I have the experiences of what Fidel fucking taught me, what Enzo would teach me about love and unconditional love, I don't know if I want to get to a point where I'm just beyond love, you know, because I feel like love has been such a guiding force for me and my growth that I'm like,
it's like eating without taste. Like, it just makes me feel like, what's
the point?
Like, is it because with love you have to have hate, like the opposite thing? Like, you can't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to think about it, but it's like, what's the point of eating if you can't even taste, if you don't need it, but you eat. I wouldn't want to live anywhere without love either. I've had that exact same, like, feeling in a lucid dream and on psychedelics before too, and I'm also due for a reset. I actually have some chocolate mushrooms in my fridge, but I only eat like half of it, like a little square that's like super mild microdose. But yeah, I can't really trip yet. No. Yeah, I haven't had a day away from Theodore ever. So when that day comes consistently, then I'll be able to take a little trip down memory lane.
The rabbit hole and everything.
Yeah, exactly. But that whole warming sense of love, and this doesn't seem like life would have a purpose after that.
Yeah. So that's one of those things where, like, in hindsight, if I become lucid again and I encounter this being again, like, I would definitely want to ask it more about that and hope that I'm able to remember the information that it gives to me that I can record later. And that's just one of the fucking things that I hate about lucid dreaming, is that, like, I can only remember so much, because I know the actual experience itself was like, felt like an eon worth of information, and all this back and forth went on, but I can only remember like a small percentage of what actually happened and what was said. So they may have, like, even already elaborated, like, well, here's what I mean specifically. And I'm just, my fucking chimpanzee brain can only remember so much information that, like, I'm like, I guess I don't need love anymore. Like,
I'm going to remember this. I'm not going to forget. And, and it's gone.
It's gone.
Your money's gone.
Wow. But I had one of those, and that one felt like pretty profound, because it was like, oh shit, like, you know, people always talk about, like, their spirit guides and, like, having these beings show up in their dream. Like, I know you've talked about it before, where you've had, like, individuals that, like, you know, like, having these things. And I guess this is, like, the closest, if it is what it is, would be like the closest representation to whatever one of my guides would be, was this fucking individual that showed up and, like, yeah, dude, I've been with you since the beginning. Like, whenever you wanted to go fucking to this place or this place, I took you there, and I was there, you know?
There's this YouTube video I'll send you after we're done. It's from The Pursuit of Wonder. He's like one of my favorite YouTube channels, but it's just really, like, makes you think about stuff. And this one in particular is like, a girl, she's looking at her fish, like talks to her fish like her whole life, and then it kind of goes to like this like super being that watches her and like talks to her the whole life, but she can't literally comprehend because she can't see like those frequencies. But it's just one of those, like, it's been with you your whole life and you may never know. And it just makes, you know, people could call it having faith, praying, talking to God. Like, there's so many different avenues or just whatever it could be, but the point is I don't think we're ever really alone. And that would just be really weird if we were.
if we actually were, like,
we're all just cut from the same cloth, like, you I am you, you are me, like, I am my, like, that's I don't know.
That'd be weird. Or if we were like the only things in the universe, like if we were all there was consciously, like, that'd be so depressing. Like,
or like, just simulation, we're just living in the game.
That's one of the things I want to know, like, because I'm a pretty firm believer that, you know, because I told you about the one lucid dream that I had where essentially it was like a precognitive lucid dream where, like, I saw something on, or going back into the, for those that haven't heard it, like, basically I became lucid in this lucid dream. I was flying and there was like this giant fucking humanoid like figure. It was essentially like a skeleton in this blue armor. The closest thing that I could describe it to was like, if anyone knows what Naruto Shippuden is, it's like the fucking Susanoos. But this is before I ever knew or had seen what a Susanoo looked like. So, but it, that's the closest I could describe to what it looked like. It comes up in my field of view as I'm flying up and I do this Kamehameha at it. And then all of a sudden the perspective changes from like my point of view to then all of a sudden the perspective is miles away, watching me fly up, shoot this beam at this giant figure. And then there's like this explosion and then the dust settles and then I'm back in my perspective. And there's this like hooded figure that's like in one of those, God, we talked about this on the episode and I'm already fucking forgetting, but like those old timey monks, like the, that have like the brown hoods and everything. And he says some weird sentence that I've never heard before, like before or the one time since, but like, he says something that in the moment of the lucid dream, I'm like, I've never heard anyone say that sentence before ever. It was so like weird. And then like a day or two later on SportsCenter, I'm watching SportsCenter and someone says the exact same thing that the guy in the lucid dream says. And then I remember in that moment feeling like I was being watched. So that one experience was enough for me to be like, this might be like a simulation or a dream in and of itself. Like reality itself might be a dream, you know? And that's one of the things I would love to, if we ever made contact with extraterrestrials and they actually just like decided we're here, ask us whatever you want to know. I'd be like, hey, so like, what do you guys think of the whole simulation theory? Like, what have you guys figured out, dude? Do you guys dream? Oh, what do you got? You know?
They'd be like, are you enjoying it?
I would also love to know from their perspective, like what about the afterlife? Like, do they have paranormal? I don't know if we've talked about this. Have you ever had paranormal experiences? Because I've had a lot since we've talked.
Really? I haven't had any recently, but when I was growing up and when I was younger, and there was one incident where my best friend Megan and I were outside and we were pointing a flashlight in the sky, and this was like alien activity though, but we saw a UFO. It was just like, it's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, so there's not much light pollution at all. So like the sky is just full of stars. It's a clear night, and we shine the flashlight into the sky, and then we stop, and then we see this one star, bright ass star, just go like, and it just goes away. And we were younger, so, like, it was just nothing moves like that. So that was, and I just had like this weird like, whoa, what was that? I was like, we need to get inside, and Megan's like, let's explore, and I'm like, let's get inside.
Polar opposite reactions.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And oh, who knows? But that was like the most holy crap, without a doubt in my mind, there's something out there. But as far as like ghosts, I can never be sure. But I've definitely had like some spooky like incidences, and like this other time where I would say now it was a lucid dream, but it felt like I was almost abducted by aliens, and I felt like that pull, and I was like, no. And I like shook myself back, and then I woke up, and everything in my camp, or like we were at the lake house, but I was camping in the tent on the deck, so I was outside by myself. But when I woke up, everything in the tent was knocked over, like I was struggling. So that's always given me like a heebie-jeebies kind of feeling when I think back, because that one in particular feels more like a memory than it feels like a dream. But as far as like ghosts and things like, ooh, what was that? I'm not sure. But sleep paralysis, have had a few weird experiences, just like lingering, like dark spirits. But I kind of think of that as shadow work now. But I don't know. I love hearing about it. Like, I love paranormal activity and like thinking what else is beyond what we can't see.
Right.
Maybe I just like to talk to the ghosts around me. So, it does, you know.
I've had a lot
recently. Yeah. So like, what have you been experiencing?
Dude, I had one just literally the day that I found out about Eddie. I had one at work. But I had a bunch. Like, I've had a few experience. I honestly don't remember if I've shared this on the podcast. Maybe I did with Jamie back in the day, but I've had a lot, but I had a solid number of them after Enzo passed up until like pretty recently from this year. Some of them happened when I was at work. Some of them happened when I was at home. The ones that were at work were like one of the places. And so do you know where I work?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I'm gonna cut this part out, but I'll leave your reaction in. But so in the break room for that location. There's like a changing room that we can go into to change to get our underdressings and everything to be able to work and everything. And I'm working the dinner shift that night. And the dinner shift has like probably at that time there was 12 people, performers, not including like the hosts. So the people that actually help us when we're out on set. So probably like 14, 15 people max. If everybody shows up, there's like 14, 15 people max. But so the curtains closed and like I walk to it and I'm like, is anyone in there changing right now? And I hear, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I'm waiting. This other guy comes up I'm going to bleep this, but my double, he comes up. This other guy comes up and he's like, what are you waiting for? And I'm like, someone's in there changing right now. He's like, I don't think so. And he like touches his fingers on the curtain and is like, is anyone in there right now? Nobody answers. He opens it. No one's in there. And I'm like,
what?
I heard
somebody just in there.
I 100% heard someone respond when I asked that question. I was like, okay, whatever. So I go in there and I change. That same night, I'm sitting on one of the couches in the break room and I'm talking to essentially like the supervisor of that particular shift. They have a different title and everything, but that they're essentially like the person who's in charge of the operation while we're there, right? And I'm sitting on this couch and I'm like texting on my phone. I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking up at her. I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking up at her. And as I look up at her again, she's turning around and right behind her, turning with her, is this mist figure. And so I see that and I'm like, okay, so that probably was whatever answered me earlier.
Right.
So she leaves, and then I ask the other people in the break room, I'm like, hey, has so-and-so, like, ever mentioned that they've had, like, ghost experiences here or ever? Like, no, I haven't heard anything. I'm like, huh, okay. They're like, why, did you experience something? Because a lot of these people know that I have experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just experienced something, but I'm not going to say what. I'm not going to say anything to her because I don't want to freak her out, right? In case she's never had experiences. So I had one like that. I had one in this particular break room that we're in. Like the TV has been known to turn itself on and off by itself or change channels by itself.
Yeah.
People have heard my name said when no one was there. Like it was kind of like just a whisper. There's other people that have that
too. Yeah. I was thinking about it as you were telling this story, like when I was like teenage years in like high school, it was like, yeah, Rachel. And it was just, yeah.
Yeah.
Really crazy. You can't explain it, but it's crystal clear. So it would be like Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
yeah, exactly. I know, like right behind you in your ear. Yeah. Like,
And like, I remember when the whisper of my name happened, I was like tying my shoes and it like the shift was over and we were all just like waiting to clock out basically. And I'm sitting on the couch tying my shoes and I hear that, Patrick. And like, I look up and this other dude is like across from me and he sees my reaction. He's like, you just experienced something, didn't you? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck just happened. Yeah, yeah. But so I've had stuff like that. And then I've had, you know, like doors that are locked all of a sudden just pop open. I've experienced that before. I've experienced, like I said, the mist figure at work. I've seen mist figures in my apartment. And this was like, this was essentially like, you remember, you know how Reese has been doing like the whole no fap and no porn and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's been like a big part of my journey as well, is doing that. And this particular thing happened in like, I want to say November of last year. And I was going through a particularly rough stretch in that period where I needed to let go of certain things that I was like really fighting myself on. Like my inner chimp, my ego was fighting me on, like really being okay with just letting it go, even though I knew and still know that the best version of me exists without that shit, because that's like a superpower for me. But I finally got myself to do it, right? I finally got myself to like actually let this shit, the particular shit I was holding on to, go. And I'm like essentially filming myself in my living room, or my living room, my kitchen, just having like talking to myself about it, about how like that was such a big deal and how hard that was, but how light I feel as a result. And as I'm recording myself, out of the corner of my eye, some movement catches my attention. I turn my head and I just see this mist figure walking in my living room. And I was like, in the video, I'm like pausing as I'm like watching it. And then I tell myself, like, I think I just saw something in my living room. And I didn't get freaked out by it. It was just one of those things where I was like, that's just a reminder of the stuff that I've experienced. But that in that moment felt to me like the universe was telling me, you just did the right thing. Like, yeah, you have to do that. And that's why you're seeing this right here. Right. And then, so there's like a lot of shit, but like I've experienced like, this is going back to when Fidel was here. This was when I was still living in West Hollywood. I experienced him like electronics turning themselves. So like my laptop would be off and closed and just turn itself on for some reason.
Oh yeah.
I remember there was one time I was taking a shower in that apartment and all of a sudden I just hear this loud bang. It was so loud that like I jumped in the shower. And like, you know, when you're living in an apartment, you can hear your neighbors and you know what that whole sounds. It didn't sound like it was coming from next door or upstairs. It was fucking something in the bathroom making that noise. So like, I remember like fucking peeling the curtain back and just be, like thinking like, okay, maybe the light burst or something fell over, you know, nothing. And I was just like, hey, can you not do that while I'm taking a shower? Okay, thank you. And then I just like went back to showering. And then there was the one time with Fidel when we were going to bed. Fidel was growling at something that I couldn't see. And Fidel was not a growler. Like, he was as big and intimidating as he looked. He was the most gentle giant I've ever known in my life. He was growling at something in my open doorway that led to the hallway that I couldn't see. And the fact that he was growling at anything was like, okay, buddy, you're okay. So I got up, I closed the door, and I just get back in bed. I'm like, we're okay, dude. I remember seeing two girls in my closet one time that, like, so this is one of the ones where I'm like, this one I put a little asterisk on because it's like, I accept the fact that I had just woken up. So here's what happened. Essentially, like, I was having a nightmare. And I can still remember the nightmare. The nightmare is me being chased by like some weird creature that has like the face of a human, but everything else about him is not human like. And I'm being chased in these series of houses that is sort of like a seesaw. Like everywhere I go, if I go to the right, all of a sudden the house tilts to the right. You know what I mean? And vice versa. So I'm being chased by this thing. And then I wake up. And when I wake up, you know how your eyes are like automatically adjusted to the dark?
Yes.
So I can see everything perfectly. To the right of my room was this closet that was a three-door closet that only had two doors because I took the middle one out because for whatever reason, the way it was designed, all the doors would hit each other. They wouldn't like slide as they should. So I took the middle one out. In the open doorway of my closet are these two girls staring at me, pointing and laughing, but I can't actually hear them. But they're like crouching and pointing and going like, like they're doing like, you know, and pointing and laughing. And my eyes are on them the entire time. And to the left of me is my little like nightstand that I had the light with my card for, am I dreaming or not? Right. My little reality check card. So my eyes are on them the whole time and I'm leaning over to the thing. I turn on the light. And as I turn on the light, the last thing I see is their faces as they disappear. I immediately grab the card thinking like I'm still in a fucking lucid dream. I'm still like, you know, it's a false awakening. I test myself. I'm awake.
You're like, oh my God.
I was like, what the fuck? And I had one where this was in the era of me like trying to get, like before I ever had my first astral, which, you know, is like 0.5 astral, like when I really think about it, because all I saw was that white. But before I ever experienced that, I was still trying to figure it out and actually do it by going the wild method or the fucking the string method or whatever the fuck. And I remember waking up again. Fidel is in bed with me and I was like in semi-sleep paralysis. I couldn't move my body, but I could move my head like to the left and to the right and everything. So I wake up and Fidel is to the left of me by my feet. And as I tilt my head to the left, I feel something press into my bed as if it's kneeling on my bed. And I can like see the bed and indentation and everything. And then in my left ear, I hear a whisper say, I'm in the room with you. And I was like,
oh, yeah, you're like, I can't.
I remember trying to have like a conversation with it and like say like, oh, do you want like some coffee? Do you want to play some DBZ Budokai on my PlayStation 2? Like, what do you like? I don't know what possessed me to do that, but like I legit tried to talk back to it and have a conversation. What ended up happening was I couldn't talk. My vocal cords were like still in sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
So the only thing that could function as normal was my head, right? All this happens in like a split second. So Fidel wakes up, his head pops up. He turns around, looks at me, turns around, looks over here, and he just puts his head back down and goes back to bed. So when I saw him do that, I immediately was like, okay. So either what just happened was like just a hallucination, like it was sleep paralysis, or it was something there that he's not tripping out about, because I've seen him when he trips out about something. So I was like, okay, so I'm not going to freak out about it. But I immediately recorded it on Snapchat. I was like, I just fucking heard someone whisper in my ear and all this shit. And like the most recent experience that I had was literally like a week and a half ago. I was in, they call it headroom at work. So it's like where we go to check in at work basically and be like, hey, I'm here. Where am I going? Or I'm here for this shift. And there's like a changing area that we can go to. So I was in there changing. And while I was in there changing, I just hear a little girl whisper, hi.
Oh, yeah. I've heard
she
a little
girl. She said hi, but it was like a whisper. But it was like she was actually saying like, hi. But it was at the frequency that it was just a whisper, right? Mm-hmm. And at the time, I had an earbud in my Beats AirPod thing in my right ear, but it came from that ear. And it was paused, and I was like, okay, maybe that was... almost
frequency caught through the earbud?
Maybe, yeah. Because it was paused, but I heard it come through that. And I was like, okay, maybe that was like Siri fucking like popping up or something. So like I do the thing. The frequency that the level that came when it was actually my phone doing whatever it needed to do, way higher. Like it almost hurt my ears. It was so loud. But like, yeah. So I'm 100% believer that where we go after this doesn't end with just darkness and blackness. Like we definitely, and this is like, this will be the last thing that I'll share. It was another lucid that I had where I was like in some weird world I didn't recognize, but there was like this stone statue that like all of a sudden like it was able to animate and like move around. It asked me who I am. I'm like, I'm Patrick and I'm from Earth. And he's like, no, not the new you, the old you that's forgotten.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then it was like, let's see if you remember this. And it like transformed itself from this like stone statue thing to like this fucking red and gold armored thing with like a weapon. And it like started attacking me, but it wasn't really attacking me like in the sense that
like, your memory.
Like, yeah, it was like, let's see what you remember how to be able to do. And we had like this fucking like essentially lucid fight where I was doing all the things I know how to do lucidly and just, and then I woke up. But those things where it's like, no, not the you are now, the old you that's forgotten. It's just like, okay, so part of me feels like we've been doing this for like a long time.
I've had a couple lucid dreams like that where it felt like, okay, we're just, like, it took me down to this basement and I found these VHSs and I knew I just had to keep them safe because they didn't want me to know. And I was like running through all these, like pretty much like jumping through hoops in my dream, like trying to like hide. And I had like this guide that was like, okay, come up. And I like made my way up the spiral staircase to the rooftop and it's like a gorgeous city skyline. And he's like, okay, we're going to try to get you. He's like, you remember how to fly? I'm like, oh yeah, I've flown and like I know how to fly. And he's like, no, with your wings. And I was like, okay. And he was just like, follow me. And he jumps off the building and like as he goes, like he jumps off the building, he's like 6 feet away starting to fall, his wings come out. And I just immediately without thinking just go, okay, here we go. And I jump off the building and I start to fall. And before I even have a moment of doubt, my wings go and I start flying with him. But it was the only dream I had wings. And it was just like more of like, try to remember. Mm-hmm. And like, you're going to forget, but just hold on to like this, like just know. And of course I woke up and all the information I felt like I downloaded just went away.
Yep. In one ear, out the other.
Yeah. And then you mentioned like being on the right path. Like when you hear these voices, I felt the same like sense of like, okay, something that still to this day happens all the time is like, I call it radio voodoo or TV voodoo, or I'll be doing a text and like someone else is talking and they'll say a phrase that I just texted in a way. So it's just like, I'll be thinking of something and the radio will play a song. Or like the commercial, it's literally like speaking to me and just like, just take a moment. And it's like, that's when I take that active meditation. I'm like, okay, like you're in the right spot at the right time. But that just does not go away.
Those fucking synchronicities, man. Whenever those, like, because I have those happen a lot. And every time those happens, it just reaffirms my whole like, dude, we're in like some kind of weird simulation right now, man. Yeah. That shouldn't happen, but it happens a lot to a lot of people. So I love that.
Can you watch Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's like when Morty puts on the gaming helmet and then he gets like the cancer and then goes back to the rug store and one of them takes him off. Yeah,
totally.
And he's like, you got cancer and you still would walk to the rug store. And he's like, where's my wife? Where's my kid?
Yeah, totally.
But then after a couple minutes, it shakes off. And sometimes I'm like, what if this is just, you know, who knows? But I actually am. I don't want to die, but I look forward to seeing what happens. Like whenever, however I go, I'm like, all right, let's go into the next phase of whatever it is. Cause I don't believe that the lights shut off and it's it. Like there's no way.
Yeah. Me neither.
So just it's the sweet release.
Yeah. All right, Rich. I think that's a really solid spot to cut out right there. Yeah. I really appreciate having you on, man. This was a lot of fun, and we'll definitely do this again.
So cool to catch up. Yeah, for sure, definitely. I can't wait to see it. So let me know. But yeah,
We'll do, man. We'll keep in touch. We'll be on. We'll do this again soon. Okay.
Oh yeah, and then I don't know if I have you on Snapchat, but I'll find out. I gotta make sure.
All right, I'll text you my thing.
Okay, sounds good. Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.